going back over this past week, it's been an interesting one because you've got the bond markets, which are still rallying quite strongly from time to time, and the shorter dated bond yields particularly are suggesting that central banks will be aggressively lowering interest rates down the track. And you've got strong rallies running through equity markets that say, you know, there's no recession ahead. You know, we're going to have pretty strong economic activity, that central banks are close to a pivot. So you've got equity markets and bond markets pointing in exactly opposite directions. And at some point, of course, there has to be an adjustment in pricing through one or the other. And what we've had with the economic readings over the course of this past week is we've still got some signs of not quite strength, but certainly not considerable weakness running through the US. For example, we had the February pending home sales data came out, and pending home sales lifted by 0.8% after an increase of 8.1% going back to the month of January. I've got an engage signal on here. Is there somebody, can anybody hear me?
I can hear you, Steve.
Yeah, just an engage signal going somewhere in the background from somebody. And the other good news in the data over the course of the past week for the US was we had the Fed's preferred inflation indicator came out. This is the personal consumption expenditure indicator for the month of February, and it came down a little bit more than expected. So we had the personal consumption expenditure deflator for the month of February coming down to 5% year on year from 5.3. That was a little bit lower than the 5.1% expected, and the core personal consumption expenditure deflator came down to 4.6 from 4.7. So, you know, that was a little bit below, but these are still well ahead of the Fed's 2% inflation target. And the issue is that you've still got enough strength running through the US economy that, you know, this progress is going to be slow over time. But for the time being, that's just keeping, you know, bond yields down at these lower levels. But I think the bigger risk is that at some point, you know, those bond yields actually show some lift, and particularly so at the shorter end of the curve. This week in the US, it's an unusual week, of course, because we run into Easter. We've got Good Friday coming up. But Good Friday, statistician still works in the US. So one of the key readings this week will come out on Good Friday in the US. And that's the latest non-farm payrolls report. So that's going to be the key reading for the week, running towards the end of the week. And at this stage, that still looks very strong. So it looks as if non-farm payrolls, the market thinks lifted by another 238,000 after lifting 311,000 the month before. If anything, the initial jobless claims readings we've seen over recent weeks actually seem to imply that it's probably going to be for the north side of 238,000, you're nearer to 300,000 again. Average hourly earnings will come out. They're still pretty high too. Looks as if they're up another 0.3%. Yes, that will see the annual rate of change come down to 4.3 from 4.6, but that's still too high. And the unemployment rate will be jogging along, we think, at 3.6%, way too low as far as the Fed is concerned. There are also some other indicators worth watching just ahead of Good Friday in the US, and these relate to the ISM PMIs. That's for the manufacturing sector, the month of March, and also for the non-manufacturing sector, the services sector. Now, these are pointing in different directions. We've seen the movement for consumers moving towards spending more on services than goods, and goods sectors in most economies around the world are showing most pressure from the tightening by central banks and that change in consumer preference. So the goods parts of economies, if anything, are showing some signs of slowing. And the March ISM manufacturing PMI comes out tonight for the US. It looks as if it will come down from 47.7 to maybe 47.5. Now, that's below the 50 expansion contraction marker for that survey, but it's also worth bearing in mind that the ISM manufacturing PMI to herald recession in the past has been down in the low 40s over several months before a recession occurs, and we're certainly not down there. And it's exactly the opposite for the services sector. So the services sector, we get that coming out on Wednesday night, and the ISM non-manufacturing PMI was at 55.1 going to February. Now, that's a strong reading. That's pointing well and truly in expansionary territory for about 90% of the U.S. economy. It's one of the reasons why we keep on getting this really strong jobs growth, even though we're dropping jobs in certain sectors. We're more than compensating for that in other sectors of the U.S. economy for the time being. It's still a very tight labor market. So that one, the market will come back to 54.5. Still a strong reading, but if it's any stronger than that, again, it's one of those markers that, you know, what the bond market's thinking about at the moment is Fed's close to a pivot, it's near the top, and it's going to be quick to start to lower rates. Well, that just doesn't look right. If anything, you know, the Fed may still have one or two more rate hikes ahead of it as these strong numbers come through, and is in a position where it can't lower rates for quite some time to come with these sorts of numbers coming through. So just watching all these numbers as they come through and the reaction from the bond markets, we start to see that. Moving to China, and you know, clearly this economy is showing, you know, some signs of improvement. And it's a rarity in that, you know, we had the March manufacturing PMI came out. For the third consecutive month now, we've been above 50, above the expansion contraction line. So in the case of China, which, you know, obviously had its weak point when it was shutting down, doing all sorts of things to various sectors, and has reversed policy direction in many of those areas, they're getting rebounds, including in something which is rare by international comparison, in their manufacturing sector. So the March manufacturing PMI was at 52.6, going back to the month of February. We thought there'd be a bit of settling back, but the settle back was not much. It came back to 51.9. But the non-manufacturing sector PMI in China truly has run into very high territory now. It was at 56.3. It was expected to come down to 54.3. It went up to 58.2. That's a very, very strong reading by the standard of this particular indicator. So what it suggests is that, you know, the Chinese, as they found their freedom, are now really starting to do what everybody around the rest of the world has been doing, getting stuck into services and doing it on steroids just about. It's they're really starting to spend up in that particular area. We're looking this week just to see if we get some confirmation with some other, you know, the private sector indicators, the Caixin survey for the purchasing managers indices. And we don't really have good market expectations on those. But today we've got the Caixin manufacturing PMI comes out. That was at 51.6, so it's in expansionary territory, probably around 51.7, 51.8 when that comes out later today. We also have the March Caixin services sector PMI coming out later in the week. There's a few public holidays that get in the way of things in China this week. That was at 55.0 going back last month. If that does what the official reading does, that's going to go flying up into the 56s and 57s. So, yeah, very strong reading expected coming from that. Moving to Australia, and yeah, this is a different story in Australia because Australia is a way more sensitive economy to variable interest rates. And even though we haven't put our interest rates up as much as many central banks overseas, we're getting a lot more bang for the interest rate rise buck here than you see in economies overseas. That partly comes down to, you know, our variable interest rate sensitivity here. That comes down largely to you know, world's best or worst, if you want to term it, household indebtedness. It's in a league of its own in terms of household debt relative to household disposable income and GDP. No other economy comes close to us. We really are extraordinarily heavily indebted. And so we tend to get, you know, sort of rather more effect from those interest rates moving up. And you can see it in some of the data that came through last week. which all starts to militate towards the RBA being in a position to pause if it wants to at the meeting this week. And so we had February retail sales. After a revised 1.8% month-on-month lift going back to January, that came after a minus 4% the month before that. We were expecting perhaps 0.3, 0.4-ish for February retail sales. They were up, but only 0.2%. So that's actually a pretty soft reading coming through on the retail sales side for February. We had the February monthly CPI. Now, that came down more than expected. So it peaked going back to December last year. In December last year, the monthly CPI was at 8.4%. In January, that dropped a 4 percentage point down to 7.4%. And in February, it's come down again to 6.8%. Now, having said that, it's still well above the levels that the Reserve Bank, you know, obviously wants to get back to 2 to 3%. And there are several reasons why getting back to 2 to 3% is going to be an almost impossible task over the next couple of years. One of them is that you've now got cheerleaders in various governments in Australia for higher wages. The federal government's there, you know, talking now with the minimum wage case coming up and talking about how, oh yeah, we'll support locking in that last very large rise in the CPI into the minimum wage increase. We had a state election in New South Wales, you know, the most populous state in Australia, and we had had caps on public sector pay. One of the big promises from the Labor government was those caps are gone. They're going immediately to the key sectors to talk about how big a wage rise they should get. Some of the restraints which have been there in wages are simply not there. That means that whilst the RBA can look at a pause on the way in which the economy is slowing, there's every reason to expect that inflation is going to be very slow to come down a bit further. Wages is one of them. And the second one is that in order to get temporary workers into Australia, the immigration totals have rocketed in terms of visas, both for temporary and for permanents. And they've rocketed at a time when, you know, housing is in chronic undersupply here. Now, you can get the workers in very quickly, but you can't get the supply of housing up very quickly. So even though you've got interest rate pressure running through the housing market, this new demand, which is soaring in for housing, is actually part countering the effect of higher interest rates and means that, you know, the pressures on rents are going to be chronic for quite some time running through the housing sector. And, of course, that's a big part of the CPI. So, it's going to be very, very difficult to get on top of that inflation or to get it to continue to come down the way that it's been coming down. So one thing you can say about it is that whilst the Reserve Bank might be in a position to, you know, to pause, it's going to be holding the peak interest rate for quite some time, and well and truly into next year. And even then, it hasn't got a lot of capacity to bring it down. Now, that's not quite what short-term bond yields are saying here. They're saying they can bring it down, you know, a 4 percentage point over the course of the next year or so. That's just cloud cuckoo land. It's sort of at some point you're going to get some reaction to that as we go further ahead. This week in Australia, we get today February home building approvals. This shows how, you know, supply is getting even more undersupplied. We've got, if you go back to January, home building approvals fell by 27.6%. You know, you've had news in Victoria of a collapse of a large home builder there. Home building approvals are still coming down. It's still a very, very difficult sector for home builders. So, you know, we really haven't got a lot of new housing coming in the pipeline. We've got home loans coming through. They're still coming off. So they fell by 4.9% going back to the month of January. They're probably still down in the month of February. You've still got some downward pressure running through the housing sector. Tomorrow we've got the Reserve Bank board meeting, and that's got to be very, very line ball. I'm leaning towards no change towards them leaving it on hold at 3.6%, but concede that they may want to put in another 25 basis point to take it to 3.85%. It really is a very, very line ball call. Back at the minutes of the last meeting, they did hint pretty strongly that they wanted to wait and see how things were running through the economy, so that did seem to militate towards a pause tomorrow. On Thursday, we got the trade balance. We still got strength running through the external sector here in Australia. We ran a trade surplus in January of $11.7 billion. We'll still be running a trade surplus of at least $11 billion for the month of February. Then moving through to Europe, and here, again, we've got this story of inflation coming down a little bit better than expected. We had the preliminary March CPI came out and also the core CPI. At the headline level, it looks better. So the March CPI came down to 6.9% year on year from 8.5% going back the month before. The core CPI, though, is sticky and actually went up a bit from 5.6% to 5.7%. They've also got an extraordinarily tight labour market, and the unemployment rate for February came out. It was expected to be 6.7%. It came in at 6.6, a little bit lower than that. The lowest rate of unemployment we've seen in a quarter of a century in Europe. So they've still got this pressure running through the labour market. We also had business and consumer confidence came out, and that seems to be sidelining now. It was 99.3 from 99.6. So that's all sort of holding together. This week in Europe, we're largely looking at things like they've got final readings of March purchasing managers' indices for both the manufacturing and services sector. Same story as you see elsewhere internationally. High 40s for the manufacturing PMI, 47.1, probably going to stay at that. But much stronger for the services sector, 55.6, the same as the month before. And one other mention I should have made when I was talking about Australia across the ditch, the RBNZ meets this week, and slightly different position to the RBA here. They look as if they're going to hike again by 25 basis points on Wednesday. That would take their cash rate up to 5%, so quite a long way north of ours. But they had rather more inflation pressure in the system than we have, and we've got more evidence that their economy is turning down than they have in theirs for the time being. So there's pretty mixed look around the world. It's one of those conundrums. If you looked at equity market movements, you'd say we're on a roll towards even stronger economic growth. There's nothing coming. The bond market, the way it's reacted through the last few weeks, is that definite recession ahead. We can see rates coming down over the course of next year. Something's got to give in this. It's totally inconsistent between what you're seeing through risk assets and what you're seeing through the bond market at the moment.